Don and team, thank you so very, very much. We sure appreciate Don Bryan Jr. leading us in such a fine way today. Greg Boyle's son, Sam, got married last night, so our congratulations to the Boyle and Walker families, also to the Norton family that had a wedding here yesterday afternoon. Today we conclude a message series called Faith and Science, Friends or Foes, and I am, without apology, a believer that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that our God is a master and brilliant designer, architect, engineer, and artist. And I believe that you were created in the image of God, and that is a unique, unique blessing. And that you were created to experience a love relationship with God. And because you were created in His image, that means you were created to give and receive love. To give and receive love to one another, but also to experience the incredible love of God. Well, God is at work all around you. And He is inviting you to join Him. Just look all around you. You need to ask, what's God doing in our world? What's He doing in our church? What's He doing in my family? It's not that I need to sit around and think up things for God to do. To the contrary, God is at work all around you. God went to Moses with an assignment. He came to Noah with an opportunity. And we need to be open and available and see, Lord, what are you doing all around me? And God invites you then to join Him in His work. Do you remember that wonderful old story from the Old Testament about the little boy Samuel, who was serving in the temple? And one night during the night, he hears something, and he goes to the older man, Eli, and he says, "You rang?" And Eli says, "Boy, go back to bed." And this happens like three times. And the older man, Eli, said, "Samuel, I think God is trying to get your attention. And so here's what I want you to do, Samuel. I want you to have this spirit that says, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Now, here's what I want you to do. You see this on the screen? Let's all say that aloud together. You ready? Here we go. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Is that your prayer? Did those words sound odd to you? Like, you know, I don't know that I've ever really had that in mind. One more time. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Are you listening for God? Are your spiritual ears and spiritual eyes open? Is there an openness to what God wants to do in your life? Jesus said in John chapter 10, He said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Jesus says that there is guidance and leadership available to the followers of Christ. Now, God has already revealed everything we need for salvation in the Scriptures. And the Scriptures are the measuring rod for everything. We're told to test all things, to test every spirit, and we do the testing by the measurement of the Scripture. But listen, but the Holy Spirit uses Scripture personally in your life, and the Holy Spirit, says the Bible, bears witness. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. And the church is the body of Christ giving direction to us And we're taught to pray, Lord, lead me. Let your kingdom be the king in my life and lead me. Jesus says, my sheep, let's put the scripture back up here, please, from John 10. My sheep have a voice. My sheep have guidance. And if they're listening, they will receive from me encouragement, reproof, guidance. They can listen. They can listen to me. One of the best known chapters in the Bible would be Romans 8. It's a wonderful, full, rich teaching. And if I just had a cup of coffee and I'm, you know, in a coffee shop with my Bible and I got my Bible open, a cup of coffee and a pen and maybe a notebook, I'm sitting here and I'm reading through Romans 8 and I start Romans 8, 1. It says, now therefore there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And man, I might just write down the words, fantastic. I love that. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. And I'll continue to read and I'll come to a statement now in Romans 8 verse 5. And it'll say something like this. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, okay, the Holy Spirit, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Now let's just stay right here for a moment. If I'm sitting, you know, in a coffee shop and I got this, I'm looking at the first part of that verse and it says something about sinful nature. Well, I know a little something about sinful nature. I've got one. I know a little something about sinful nature because, you know, I remember another statement in the Bible that talks about specifically what our sinful nature leans into, where it just naturally wants to go. You remember this scripture out of Galatians 5? The desires of your sinful nature are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild party. I mean, I look at that and I go, whoa, I don't want that in my life. That's nasty stuff. I don't want that in my life. I don't want that in your life. But he says, you know, there is a sinful nature in us that unchecked, it may not have a leaning to go in all of those areas, but you know what? I'm sure have a leaning to jealousy, envy, dissension, just sort of wanting my way, or what, or there may be others up there. But let's go back to the Romans 8 scripture. But there is another way. He says, but those who live in accordance with the Holy Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. That I can walk in step with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants something differently for me. Well, if I got my cup of coffee and my little pen, I'm thinking, well, I kind of know what the Holy Spirit wants because he tells me. I go back to that same Galatians 5 teaching that says this. Here's what the Holy Spirit wants to produce. Love. Anybody want more love? Joy. Some peace. Patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You know that when things are a little tough, you're the person that says, the world's flighty, I'm not going to be flighty. God wants me to be faithful. God will help me. He wants to produce that gentleness rather than seeing how hard I can be. Gentleness, self-control. And he says, and you can't have too much of this. There's no law against that. Sorry. I got stopped by a policeman this past week. Thursday night, I'm driving back. I'd been up elsewhere about 3 hours away. I'm driving back. I got pulled over. Comes up, you know, wants to see my license, Mr. Norman. You in a hurry? I was just chatting with my wife, going along. I mean, how fast was I going? He said, you were doing 71. I said, so? I mean, this is a 70-mile-an-hour zone, right? No, it's a 55-mile-an-hour zone. Whoopsie. There is a law against going 71 in a 55. There is a law against that.
Don't do it. Don't you do it.
But there is no law against what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. And now, you go on verse 6, back to Romans 8. The mind of the sinful man is just death. And we know that. Somebody who just lives their way, that's not the life of God. That's not joy. That's not kindness. That's not love. That's not. And there's just something of spiritual vitality that withers and dies. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Anybody in this room want life and peace? Raise your hand. Anybody here want life and peace? I want that. Life and peace. And you can mark it down. It's a promise from God that when you say yes to the Holy Spirit, here's the equation. Yes to the Holy Spirit equals life and peace. Yes to what the Spirit wants to do equals life and peace. Or I can stiff arm. I can be resistant. I can do what the Bible says, quench the Spirit, grieve the Spirit. And I don't know what words you would put down as being the opposite of life and peace. Here's what I put down. Emptiness and disorder. That when I stiff arm the Holy Spirit, it leads to emptiness and disorder. Now, that's theology. That's what the Bible says. I got to tell you, I have found that to be true practically in my own life. Practically. You face moral choices, and we all face moral choices. And there is a yes road, and there is a no road. And we face those obvious moral choices. And you sense, you know, if you're a Christian, you sense in your spirit the Holy Spirit cheering you on. There is a high road and a low road, and you sense the Holy Spirit cheering you on for good, noble, moral choices. And you make those high road moral choices, and there's life and peace. There's a sense of vitality and peace in your spirit. You know it. But you intentionally make those low road moral choices. Things just seem sour and out of sorts, and you're empty, and you're not at peace with yourself. You're not at peace with others. And a lot of people don't connect the dots. The Bible says, connect those dots. Saying yes to the Spirit leads to life and peace. Think about your finances. When I've made high road financial decisions, I put my head on the pillow at night, and when I give the first fruits, the first part to God, and I manage greed and live within my means, save a little, there's just a sense of life and peace. God, you have blessed me, and I feel like I am doing with this what you have told me to do. And I'm not making excuses about it. I'm not, well, you know. No, I'm just obeying you. I'm saying yes to the Spirit. And there's a sense of life and peace. When I don't do that and I start making excuses for why I'm not and this, there's just emptiness and disorder. And I'm quenching what God wants. God wants to take me to a place of life and peace. Think about just using your talents. You put your head on the pillow at night, and you realize that at some point during this week, I have taken some of my abilities, and I've used them not just for my thing, but for God's thing. And there is a sense here of life and peace. Does this resonate with anybody that when you say yes to where the Spirit is nudging and leading and pushing, that there is a sense of life and peace, and when I stiff arm that, there is emptiness and disorder. Now listen very, very carefully. When God's trying to get your attention, when God nudges you, your response
is critical.
Because God will often be at work in your life and around your life, and God will often invite you to do something with Him, listen carefully, that you do not want to do, or you feel completely ill-equipped to do it. Oh, God, don't send me. I'm not the speaker. Send my brother Aaron, somebody beside. I don't want to go to Nineveh. Come on. You can't go with God and stay where you are at the same time. Let me say that very clearly. You can't go with God and dig in your heels at the same time. And God is growing us, shaping us. And when God's trying to nudge me or nudge you, our response is critical. In fact, that's where you experience God. It's in that moment of fear. It's in that time of uncertainty. We say, God, this is out of my league. I'm not sure I want to do this. But you step out there, and it's in that time of faith where you experience God. Let me say it pointedly to you this morning. If God nudges you to reconcile something, take that step. If God is nudging you to take a step of faith today, if He's been trying to get you to start that group or lead that small group or use that skill or use that talent, go ahead and step out there. If He's encouraging you to be generous, follow the leading of God. And you may be in this room this morning saying, okay, Ronnie, generally speaking, I sort of buy what you're saying, but how do I become more sensitive? How do I develop more sensitive spiritual ears and spiritual eyes and a spiritual... How do I become more sensitive to God? I've got four very specific suggestions, and here's the first one. Ask God to improve your hearing. On a physical basis, I don't hear well. I hope you folks know that if sometimes you're ever talking to me and I act like I'm ignoring you, well, I may be ignoring you, but I don't hear you. So make sure we got eye contact. And if we've got eye contact and I can see your lips, but other than that, I just don't hear so well. Spiritually speaking, I pray regularly, God, keep me from myself. Keep me from myself. Speak, lead me. I am listening. I am available. Remind me of the truths of your scripture as I need them appropriately. And in those situations where I need your wisdom, you make the promise in scripture that if anybody needs wisdom, that they can ask and you will give it without being critical. You will say, yeah, I will lead you. So God, sensitize my hearing. Now I got to tell you, that sounds so much easier than it is. I'll tell you a true story. I was speaking in Oklahoma a few years ago. I'm speaking there for 4 days, on a Sunday through Wednesday. On Monday evening at this week-long deal at this church, this is in a smaller town, and so, you know, revivals. You remember what revivals are. Revivals work well, particularly in some smaller towns. And on Monday night, there were several folks in the community there, And the president of the local club that was the main club there in town, I don't remember, Lions Club, Rotary Club, Exchange Club, Civitan, I don't know, some club, was there Monday night. Well, the next day, Tuesday, I'm in my host home. It's a family that I know. I'm staying in their home. And that morning, it's about 10 o'clock, you know, we'd had breakfast and chatted a while. And I'm back in my room, and I'm looking over my notes for that night, and I'm praying. And I kid you not, here's what I'm praying. I'm praying, God, I know that I'm here this week by your appointment and your example, and you've got me here for a reason. And Lord, I want to be your instrument. I want to be your servant. I am open. I am available to you this week. You use me, God, in any way I can be used this week. Whether it's speaking, if you need somebody to sweep the floor, you let me, and I am your man for this week in this time and place. There's a knock at my bedroom door. It's my host guy, and he steps in. He says, "Hey, Ronnie, the president of the club was there last night, and he wants to know, like, at today's meeting, would you be willing, now they meet here in 2 hours, would you be willing to come down and speak to the club? They'll cancel the program today. If you'll come down and speak to the club, all these businessmen from the community, would you come down and do that?" And I said, "Oh man, you know, if I'd have known in advance where I could have brought my notes and I've got some things that maybe would go with this, but you know, I'm not really prepared and ready I appreciate that, but you know, had I known in advance, you know, if you'd have just, you know, emailed me last week, I could have been ready, but you know, thanks, but no thanks." And I go right back to praying, "Lord, I am your man, and you lead me this weekend." And then it's like eventually, duh, go back out. You tell him I'm there. I have not a clue what I'm going to talk about, but I'm there. Ask God to improve your hearing. Reduce the ambient noise. Make sure it's God you want to hear. Honor your mother and father, but you listen supremely to God. Honor your wife, you listen supremely to God. Honor your husband, you listen supremely to God. Honor every person in your life. Honor to whom honors. Love the world, but listen first and foremost to what God has to say to you. Thirdly, fill your mind with Scripture. Because so many of the nudgings of God, everything will be consistent with Scripture, and so much of it is the Holy Spirit using, what does the Bible say? Scripture is the sword of the Spirit. He will use it to remind you, "Hey, Ronnie, this is the high road to take. Remember what Jesus said. Remember what Paul, this is the high road to take." And number four, stay out of sin. I mean it. Stay out of those intentional, deliberate patterns of disobedience to God. Because if you don't, here's what happens. Here's what happens. You got this happy Christian going along, and then they make a terrible decision, or they get into a terrible season of life, and then they start doing some negative talk to themselves. And they'll start saying, "You know what? A true Christian would have never done what I just did. And a holy God could never overlook this. And if people knew, they would never love me or respect me again." And then here's the lowest you go. God could never use somebody like me. God couldn't use somebody like me. But in reality, here's what Jesus is saying to you. He's saying to you, "Look, I know full well that between here and heaven, you're not going to be perfect. And when you stumble, you come to me, you confess it, let's forgive it, and let's move on together in a high road to make a difference for Christ in this world." You can reconnect with God. In fact, if you're here today and there's been a disconnection with you, you can reconnect with God. And you know how it starts? Here it is. At the little crossroads where you are right now, in the power of God, make a good decision. Take the high road. Say yes to the Holy Spirit. And then at the next little crossroads, and then the next little crossroads, and those little moments begin to build a new pattern. And God will help you. He will be your strength. Well, I need to wind it down, but I want to close and ask this question. We'll put it up here on the screen. What one word describes your relationship with the Holy Spirit? And if I were to rephrase that question, it would be like this. If you could pick one word to summarize what you want the Holy Spirit to do in your life, what one word would that be? I'll tell you what one word it is for me and what my prayer is for you. But before I do that, I want to read three scriptures. Here's the first one. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Don't you take water of any kind and douse what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Secondly, and do not grieve, an emotional word. The context for this scripture is where Christians are not they're not forgiving. They're not gracious to one another. And he says, when you do that, you grieve. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then this scripture. Be filled with the Spirit. Imagine trying to fill this jar. You can't. You know why? It's already full. Look at that. It is maxed out. It is already so full. You can't put anything else in there. Let's go back to the scripture, Ephesians 5. This one can't be filled. It's already so full of itself. Oh, well, this one's empty. But you can't open it. Oh, it's empty. But there's no possibility of putting anything in here. It is so closed. This jar is not saying, is not praying, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. If you could pick one word to summarize your relationship, here's the word I would pick for you, and here's my own prayer. It's simply the word available. Lord, I want to be open to what you intend to do in my life. I want to be willing to go where you want me to go. I want to be ready to answer your call. I want to be ready for anything, anytime, anywhere. I want the Spirit's fire to burn in my life without any hindrance from me. My friends, when God nudges you to do something, whether it's simple or exceedingly difficult, obey and do it. And today, if God is nudging you to reconcile a relationship that's right there in front of you that needs to be reconciled, do what you can. If He's encouraging you to take that faith step today, take it. If He's encouraging you to be generous, follow the leading of God. Process these nudges carefully. Live with discernment. Pay attention to Scripture, but walk in the direction of experiencing the living God today. God loves you. He didn't just create the world. He loves you. Let the great love of God nurture your mind, nurture your heart, affect every relationship. I pray you will live in the great love of God and experience Him today. Let's stand for prayer, please. Gracious God, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you that He is alive now and that we can look to Him in everything and that we can experience life in an entirely new way. Lord, I'm thankful that we never have to be afraid of what the Spirit will do for us, that He's going to take us in ways of love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and gentleness, and faithfulness, and self-control. Lord, help us to take whatever response of faith today so that we draw closer to you. And we thank you that we have this incredible capacity and opportunity to encounter you, to be invited to partner with you in doing something that influences our world for you. And so, Lord, whatever it is, we are willing to join you in your work. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.